Okay. Just one interesting thing that I found last night in the Sefer Kavanoki. This is the second chelek of Kavanoki, which is Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein put out just psukim that he himself had heard or corresponded with his shver, Moron Rabbi Yashiv. And he has over here that Rabbi Yashiv did indeed tell him that Efshel Lismech Al HaPeiskim Shehayru, you can rely on Peiskim that permitted that if somebody ate meat and then he went to sleep Bashinas Keva, so more than a half hour, slept in bed, Ain't Tzarech L'Hamtin Sheishos. That whole discussion in terms of waiting, I saw to a Peiskim. See, he brings in the bottom that we had that Sefer we had brought from the Chassam Sefer that wanted a passing like that, then the Homaisa, the coffee spilled over, and he decided against it. So, me as an Enikl of the Chassam Sefer, maybe I won't be able to rely on this. But Rabbi Yashiv said he did go with the Peiskim, and at the bottom also he brings other Peiskim that did permit it. So,
take a Shabbos nap and then have.
Huh?
Then it would sound like that, because on Shabbos it's
very applicable, right?
Yeah.
So we had said that from other places, at least you can make it a little shorter, but that's a very good application. So even if you want to, certainly you want to rely on those that hold the more than the six is not dafka, and you have the shinas keva. Certainly a person could, if he doesn't have to wait another half hour before he starts his shalashuddis, you certainly could rely on that.
If it's Shinas Keva.
If you're not having a Shinas Keva on Shabbos, then it's not Shinas B'Shabbos time again. Okay. So now we go, Mirz Hashem, we will learn Simen Peites Siv Dalet. So this is the final Sif in Siv Dalet, and let's try to Beis Hashem go through it. The Shulchan Aruch Ramah mentions five different dinim. Five different dinim in this one sif. So let's go to the first one. Misha ochal gvina v'roitzel echol basar. Someone who ate cheese, he ate milchik v'roitzel echol basar. Now he wants to eat meat. Tzorach levar me'al ha'shulchan shiurei pas she'ochal em ha'gvina. He has to remove the remainder of bread, the leftover bread she'ochal em ha'gvina that he ate together with the cheese. Now, why don't we say the opposite way? Someone ate meat and now he wants to eat milchik. So the idea that says just practically, because if you ate meat, so you're waiting anyway 6 hours. We could assume that everything has been removed from the table. But the same halacha really would apply. So someone ate milchik and now, let's say he's waiting a half hour, it's now a new suda, and he wants to eat another suda. And he wants to use the same bread as he did for the milchik suda, for the fleishik suda, or vice versa. It's usually more applicable by us when it's a fleishik suda. So you have a suda Shabbos and you have challah that you ate at that suda. Now you want to eat, let's say, shalosh sudas in the longer Shabbosis, or lava malka in the shorter Shabbosis, and you want to use that bread, you want to use that challah, you want to make grilled cheese, you want to put, you eat it with milchik soup. So the Shulchan Aruch says, someone who ate gvina, or again basar, and now he wants to eat the opposite min, you have to remove all of the bread from the table. So does he mean you remove the bread from the table and then bring it back? No. The chiddush here is that not only can't you eat the bread together with the opposite min, you're not allowed to even leave it on the table because they were afraid that you may come to eat it with it. As we see, so throughout Pei Zayin, Pei Ches, and Pei Tes, the restrictions that Rabbanu made on Bas V'Cholov were extreme. So this also, you have to remove that. Not only can't you eat it together, you have to remove it from the table.
That means once the challah has been on the flesh table, and you remove it, you can never eat challah with it the rest of the week either. Are you saying that?
That's what it seems like it's saying. Once you have challah that you ate with flesh, you can never eat it with milk. It doesn't give a time, right? You know, that doesn't mean only the next Suda, even during the week, which would make it a little bit difficult for us, because then we would have so much challah we'd be throwing out, which we can't use, and we could use it with a parva meal, or we could use it again with a fleishik meal, but not so practical. Yeah. So here we have an interesting diuk that Rav Moshe makes in Yerideya Chelek Aleph Simen Lamed Ches, talking about this din. And he makes the following diak. We have the source for his diak here brought in the Gra. Look at the Gra, Sivkan Yudches. Misha Achal. The Gra, as he does always, he quotes the source for this halacha, and this is really the Torah quotes the same Yerushalmi. Misha Achal Gvina. Yerushalmi, Perigvav de Psachim, Hadain de Achil Chayvitz. This person who eats cheese, Uboy Lamechel Kupar, and wants to eat meat, mevar psisin, has to remove psisin. And what are psisin? Psisin are crumbs. So Ramesha says the following diak. He says, this whole concern is, we're worried that the bread that he ate together with his meat, let's go with the fleishik suda, with his meat suda, has some meat residue, has some schmutz from the meat, because he was dealing with, he was touching his meat, he was touching his chicken, and now he touched his bread. That bread, maybe you can't even see it, has some meat residue on it, and therefore the Rishama says you can't eat it together with milchik. But says Ramesha, if I know there's a particular part of the bread which didn't get come in contact with my greasy hands, didn't come in contact with any of the meat, then certainly it wouldn't be a problem. Says Ramesh, you see that for Nushami itself. You're only worried about the small crumbs. You're worried about only the small pieces. So where do you draw the line? Is it only crumbs? You have to remove everything else to find? So Ramesh says like this. Ramesh says, Milsa delay ramya anafshe lavadaita, the Gemara says. That something that's not on the person's mind, we can't assume that he was careful about it. So therefore, any piece of bread that he took to eat with this meal, that has to be considered fleishik, and you can't eat that with a milchik. But any bread, whether it's a part of a loaf, or whether it's slices that are just on the challah tray itself, or some independent tray, which was not designated to eat with this meal, is going to be okay.
That would suggest better to a loaf. The second challah, maybe you never even sliced it.
Well, that's for sure okay. That's for sure okay.
The first loaf, you're better off slicing at the beginning. Once you, if I slice what I need to pass around, then I.
That's what most people do, yeah. Right?
And then I'm eating my flesh. Then I go and grab that second, the rest of the loaf there to cut another piece. Now I've handled it. I mean, that isn't that the same as psisim? I mean, we're talking about when you're handling the loaf and you got residue on your hands, so I'm better on cutting it all up ahead of time.
Probably if you're the one cutting it, you probably make sure your hands are clean before you would actually touch the whole loaf and cut it. What Ramesh is saying is that the piece itself that I took to eat with my, so it's just my personal piece. I'm not going to be careful if I have a little bit of meat grease on my fingers and touch that piece of challah. But his chiddush is two ways. Even a piece that I took and is just sitting in front of my plate, let's say, and I never ended up eating it, that I can't put back in the tray to eat with milchik. And as it had to be that it was a place that people will be mindful not to touch it with their hands. So it's if a designated tray, people will take from that tray if they want, so long as it remains on that tray, or so long as it remains as a half a loaf or a whole loaf, that can be eaten with milchik.
Even cut pieces.
As long as they haven't been sort of taken to be eaten in this meal. Ramesh doesn't speak this out clearly, but that's the svara that he says. If it's milsad leiramia, it's something that already is part of my kavana to eat with the meat, will be a problem. So that's how we can make this distinction in din number one. So again, din number one is someone who ate cheese or he ate basar. He has to remove the pas that he ate with this meal and cannot eat it with the other men. And we're making this distinction from Ramesha that a bread which you could assume had not been handled with any meat and did not come in contact with meat, you could still eat with the gvina. Okay? Din number two. Continues the Mechaber. V'oso le'achol gvina al mapa she'ochlu ba'basar. You can't eat cheese on the same tablecloth that you ate basar. Sitting around, as v'chein le'apachasar. You can't eat milchik on a fleishik tablecloth, and you can't eat fleishik on a milchik tablecloth. Now, what does a milchik tablecloth mean? It means the tablecloth that you just ate milchik at. It's not because it has an M on it, or it has an F on the other one. Right? If you ate, if you ate basar on that mapa, on that tablecloth, so you can't use it for milchi. Okay? Do most people have two tablecloths, two different tablecloths, milchi fleishiks? Yeah, most people do. Yeah? Sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah here, yeah, if somebody had a tablecloth, they're not allowed to eat it, use it for anything. So I'll give you a simple case. Someone had a tablecloth on for Shabbos, and they ate fleishiks on it. Yeah? And now it's later in the afternoon, they want to have milchik shalshudis, or it's malav malka, they still have the tablecloth on, and they want to have milchik malav malka. Are they allowed to use the same tablecloth? No. Sounds like Shulchan Aruch says no. Oh, you mean to put something down now? No, you mean you could put another whole tablecloth over. Yeah. Okay. So, zok de pischei tshuva. Look at the pischei tshuva sivkan ches. The last pischei tshuva here. Al mapa. I'm ashkosav advaz. Chilik bei simin tov shin chof aleph shekosav. She'ein divrei harav ela kishoyo manichem habosar vagvina al hamapa. This whole din was only applicable when they actually put the food directly on the tablecloth. Ve'oz yesh lochush. Then there is a concern. Shem yidbuku zebazeh. Some of the meat, I mean, if you imagine you ate the chalent, or you ate a piece of meat, you took the cold cuts, you put it straight onto the tablecloth.
You're not talking about the plate with the cold cuts, yeah. The pot with it, we're talking straight.
Straight.
Chatichat basar, mamash, right on the tablecloth.
Right.
I would have thought. What would you
say, what? Chatichat basar, right, mamash on the table. A piece of meat, put right on the tablecloth. That's
yeah.
What I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Not the.
Well, you think that you think that's so strange? Come to my house. Some of my kids eat that way.
But
yeah. He doesn't like the plate. You know, it's a little funny, this plate. He doesn't like it. Push away the plate, straight onto the. Yeah.
Because you get everything.
So
everything goes into the other.
They don't like it. Right, so that's the whole concern. If they were put, and obviously there was a time when that's what they would do, put the meat straight onto the tablecloth. So then there's a problem. Why? Because the meat residue gets on the tablecloth. Now you're going to eat some milk or gemil, you're going to eat some cheese or bread with butter, and you put it straight on. Of course, there's going to be concern it's going to get stuck together. Avo min ogenu. We bring everything with a plate and we eat our food on plates, so then it would not be a problem. Even if you just turn over the tablecloth, okay, remove the crumbs, sagi, that's sufficient. That's what the Radva says. So the truth is, that's what Meikradin, even though we know most people, the minig is, and the Dachei Tshuva brings the minig is to have different tablecloths. But Meikradin, you see from here, someone is a little bit lazy, and they ate fleishes on this tablecloth, and they ate on plates. Right, so and they're going to eat the next meal on plates. So really, as long as you remove all of the crumbs, it means as long as it's clean, you'd be able to use it. You clean it, but you can take the crumbs off. If it's a plastic tablecloth, you could just wash it down or sponge it down. It's also sufficient, and that maker adin would be mutter. Certainly, if you have cloth tablecloths which you wash in between, that's for sure not a problem, basically speak out, to use one and the other. You don't have to have designated just for flesh and milchik. It only means if you already ate on that one, then you can't eat the opposite min on the same one because of this concern. So that's din number two. Okay? And din number three. V'chol shekein. And certainly says the Mechaber, she'osa lachteich gevina avilu tzeinenis. You can't cut cheese. Now why would you be cutting cheese? It's hard cheese. You have a block of cheese. They still make these things? Yeah. I haven't had that in years. The cheese that you actually, we used to have this, it was cool, we had this cheese slicer. Yeah. You know, the thing, you slice the cheese. Yeah. And now everything comes prepackaged. Yeah. But you want to cut cheese, it will be relevant for other things by us. You can't cut hard cheese, even if it's all cold. So that's the third din. You can't cut cold milchik with a fleishik knife.
Even shalom biyomo, and you think it would be okay.
Oh. So even if he says, even if it's any ben yomo, He was in Binyamin. So we have a problem here. We're concerned about duch kudasakina. Certainly, he's talking about hard cheese. You want to cut something, or certainly if it's he's saying even if it's tzayinim, but certainly if it's hot, you want to cut hot lasagna with a fleishig knife, or you want to cut a block of cheese with a fleishig knife, right? So we shouldn't have such a problem with this. Okay, just have two separate knives. But what's the issue over here? What's the concern? And does it make a difference if it's benyamin? What's the concern? So really, if you remember, we had from Rashi and Daf Kuf Yud Beis in Chulin, he said there's always two concerns by a knife. One is that if it was pushed into an item that you cut, you have duch kudasakina. It has bleis that are brought out from that food and imparted into the knife.
But that's just by this category of things we discussed. The hot things, the beet, the silka.
Oh, very good. So you want to say it's only by dava charif? Yes. Okay, good, good. That's a good point. We'll see that Taz mentions that. But ultimately, there can be two concerns by a knife. One of the bleis that went into the knife, and the second is the shuman koresh al panav. That we're worried there is layers of whatever you cut. Let's say in this case meat. There's layers of meat caked on to the blade of the knife. And the real reason is, and the shach speaks this out, because a knife should tashmi shaytadir. If you just look from a practical standpoint, those days we didn't have running water in the house, yeah. So a knife is not something that you put directly into your mouth. Spoons and forks you put directly into the mouth, so you make sure to wash them in between. But a knife is just used for cutting, so it's a pain in the neck to have to go wash it or use the water for that. So what do they do? This is used for the meat, so you just cut it. What are you doing? You put it on the side, and the next thing you just cut it again. What's the worst that it has? It just has extra residue of meat. Fine. But over time, you know, days and days or weeks of cutting, so you have your fleishig knife, which you've been cutting your meat with, has layers of caked on shuman on top of that. Yeah. So there, indeed, it was a concern. You're now going to cut your cheese, so the residue of meat will get onto your cheese. If you look at the Mechaber, what does he say? Choshkin she'os lach tegvina afilu tzeneres, besakin she'regilin lach teg baser. A knife that you use constantly to cut meat. Okay? So there's two concerns. Either you're worried about the bleis, which would mean even if it's a totally clean knife, but since you're doing duch de sakina, since you're pushing the knife into something hard cheese, you're worried that the bleis of meat will come out. That's one concern. Or worried that the knife is not really clean. It's not totally clean because it's used constantly. So it seems here that we have a machlokes achreinim as to how they saw this din. Okay? Now we could be a machleik sachreinim. There's nobody. There's no numbers over here. No one speaks in this din. Yeah, so we'll see in a moment. But that's the keep this din. This is din number three. You can't cut cheese with a fleishig knife. Din number four. Veloyoid. Not only that. Not only you can't cut cheese. Elafilu hapas sheoichlim emagvina. Even to slice bread that you're going to eat with cheese, or selacht in besachen shachot bein basar. Oh, now we're getting a little more serious. You can't even take your fleishig knife and cut a slice of bread to eat with your milchig meal. Now, this doesn't apply to a challah knife. A challah knife is not a fleishig knife. I assume you don't cut your steak with your challah knife. If it's a designated challah knife, it's just used for challah. Okay? But we're saying here you can't take a fleishig knife, you have a sharp fleishig knife, which you used to cut cheese, that you can't now use to cut slice of bread. Or a milchig. You have a milchig knife, a sharp milchig knife, which you used to cut hot milchig, and now you want a slice of a piece of bread, a slice of bread, to eat with fleishig. You want to cut open the hamburger bun, or the hot dog bun, with a milchig knife. Says the Shulchan Aruch, he can't do such a thing.
A little like not bar mat here.
Oh, good, good. Very good. What was this, Makadosh Jesus this morning for breakfast? I see you're
Oatmeal,
okay. I didn't have that, actually. Okay, good. That also the Taz speaks out. So good. So we just, those last two dinim, din number three, din number four, is you can't cut cheese with a fleishig knife, and you can't cut bread to be eaten with meat with a milchig knife. Says the Ramah, v'chein lehepach nami osir, a milchig knife you can't cut bread to be eaten with fleishig. Miu, however, ayidei ne'itze bekarka kosheh, shari. However, if you stick the knife into hard ground, then it's mutter. And for some reason, I'm not sure, every day, Hakol Toli B'mazel, the Zayir says, and a few say Feteri Shebehechel. Somehow this halacha became very misconstrued. The sticking in the knife. People have thought that you have a knife, or you have to dekasher it, you stick it in the ground, you stick it in overnight. Most people don't do this. I do remember when I was growing up, my grandmother, I remember, used to go out to the side of the house. We lived upstairs from her, and she used to go out, and she used to stick the knife in the ground. And I don't remember if she did it the right way. I should call her and ask her to see if she remembers what she did. If I'm not mistaken, I thought also she stuck in the ground like overnight. But really, the Gemara says, the Gemara right at the end of Avodah Zarah, that in order to go for cutting from fleshik to milchik, if everything's cold, so you have to take the knife and stick it noitz bekarka kosher eser pa'amim. You have to stick it 10 times in different spots, because once you stuck it in once, that's not karka kosher anymore. That's not hard ground. You have to do it 10 different times, and that's what ni'itza bekarka is. Okay. Now, what does ni'itza bekarka accomplish? Right. So it's a practical way, instead of having to go kasher it, putting it in fire or putting it in a boiling hot water. You don't have to do that. You can just stick it in the hard earth. Much easier. Everybody has hard earth near the house. Much easier. So that's what the Gemara says. That's really sufficient. The truth is, the Beis Yosef.
Well, you just said instead of kashering it.
Yeah. So the guy, this was used for meat, right? You cut meat with this knife. Now I want to... Huh?
It cleans the meat off well.
That's right. I mean, kashering from the meat to the gvina.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
The truth is, this is by a sakin shel nachri also. Sakin by nachri also. Yeah, a non-Jewish knife, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, the knife from a non-Jew.
Right.
Also, ne'itza bekarka will help if you want to use it for cold. Yeah, the Gemara says that too.
You're
huh?
You're
on the title? The title is only if you're using it.
Also, yeah.
No, if it's the guy's knife, I don't have to table the guy's knife.
Oh, you mean you just borrow it from him? And then
I'm having a picnic in the park, yeah?
Yeah?
And I don't have a sharp knife.
Right.
So the guy has a sharp knife.
Okay.
And I just want to slice just some of my cheese.
Right.
So I ask him for his knife.
Yeah.
I go, I stick it in the ground 10 times.
Why did you do this?
Right.
This is
yeah. Well, I have the knife, not him.
I understand that, but you know, it's like
I'm yeah. And then I slice my cheese, yeah. Yeah. Tevila is only when it comes from the Rishus Akum to Rishus Yisrael, but it's not mine. Yeah.
Okay.
That's why in a hotel, you go to a hotel, you don't kasher the glasses, the drinking glasses, right? Yeah. So the Beis Yosef, when he quotes this halacha, he says, "Noatze bekarka esapam oy shifshifa be'even rach." Well, you take a stone. You could, you know, like a sharpening stone. Oy bepecham a coal, right? So it would seem you take a piece of steel wool also and rub the knife down, and it will be sufficient, just like karka kasha. Yeah. Steel wool is probably better than karka kosher. Yeah, they didn't have steel wool those days. So that's the halacha. Now, the question is like this. When the Ramah says, Miu aideini itzibar karka kosher shari, then it's mutter. What's mutter? Din number 3 or din number 4? Din number 3 was that you can't take a fleshik knife and cut cheese. Din number 4 was you can't take a fleshik knife and cut bread to use with cheese. So now it says, but if you stick it into the ground, then it's mutter. What's mutter? Right? That's the problem. The Ramah doesn't say what he's going on. Does he mean just the last halacha is mutter, just the bread case, or even the earlier case? So here we have a machlokes. Look at the Taz of Katan Vav. The Taz says, Mi aideini itza bekarka kosher shari. Says the Taz, Zekoi. Amasha Kosov Sharaitz Lachtech Gvina Besakit Shelbosser. This is going on din number 3, where you wanted to cut cheese with a fleshig knife. If you stick it in the ground 10 times, then you're allowed to cut the cheese. Ava Bamasha Kosov Sharaitz Lachtech Lechem. Din number 4, where you're not allowed to cut bread with a fleshig knife to eat with milchik. Oh, that you don't need to eat. So, Loitzarach Rakhinuach Hasakin. You just have to wipe it down. You take a paper towel, you take it down, and you wipe down the knife. That's all. Why? And the shankos of atam, the Rebbeinu Shimshon says, Barry, this is what you were saying before, davenat barnat. What's the problem with the knife? You use this knife to cut fleshik, so you have bleias of meat in the knife. Now you're using the knife to cut bread, and it gets into the bread, so it's nice and tam into the knife, and bar nice and tam into the bread, and now you're eating it with cheese. Not barnat is mutter, certainly according to the Mechaber, the Beis Yosef was bringing this, that's not barnat. So he says, so that's by bread, that's why it's just enough to wipe it down. Where you have to worry about, we're going into cheese, you don't have the heter not barnat. Why not? Because it's nice and tam for the meat into the knife, and now it's coming right into the cheese. So it's a nice and tam sheni, it's nice and tam with iser. You can't, if you have to have a not barnat before you even get to the opposite min. So that's what the Taz says. However, as the Taz says, according to us, ain't tzarech l'zeh, you don't have to come on to the reason and have not barnat. Why? Shari mavur b'sim et zadivav, d'davke v'dav v'charif. Amrin and d'beilei, amishum duchi d'sakin. We say there's no problem when you're dealing with, let's say, cheese or meat, because it's not a davar charif. That's what you're pointing out for the Gemara, right? When you cut a tznayin, you cut the sharp item, davar charif, with ducha, it can bring in the blias. But if you're just cutting meat, he says the blias are not getting in there. It's only the residue on the outside. So just wipe down the residue, and you're fine. So that's what the Taz says. So it means the Taz learns that this, the halacha of the Ramah, is going really on this last, is going on the third din, rather, that ne'itza b'karka will help to cut cheese, but to cut bread seems to say you could take a fleshik knife, which you used for fleshiks, and just wipe it down and then use it for bread. And here, the Shach, Rabbi Kiva Eger, all disagree. They disagree. The Prima Godim disagree with the Taz. Look at here in the Nekudas HaKesef. Yeah, Nekudas HaKesef Ois Aleph here on this Taz. You have it over here. Zekai. He says it's going on the third din. Says the Nekudas HaKesef Zeinai. That's incorrect. Even just to cut bread, to eat with cheese, which is the fourth din of the Ramah, you have to stick it into the ground. We're going to see what the Taz writes in the next Sif Katan, which is all based on the Taz's understanding. We'll see in a moment. This we're just resuing the Taz and Sif Katan Vav. He says, well, we don't even have to come on to Nat Barnat because it's only by Dava Charev it's a problem. Lav Milsehi. Also, it's not really true. Our issue here is not because of the belia, because of what it absorbed, this knife. We're talking about everything is cold. What are we concerned about? I mean, if it's cold, we're not worried that belias are going to come. How belias are going to come from inside of a cold thing? How are they getting out? That's not what we're worried about. A knife always has residue stuck onto the outside of it. Since it's used constantly and it's caked on, just wiping it off won't be sufficient. Meaning the Taz understood that the whole problem of a knife essentially is the bleus inside. So, belias. So that's only going to be a problem if you're cutting something, the cheese itself, with dukha de sakina. But if you're cutting bread, just wipe it down. Now there's no more belias getting out. The Shach understood, no, the problem with the knife is the residue on the outside, the shuman that's toyach alponav. For that, you're only going to get it off with ni'itza bekarka, some steel wool. That's what's going to get it off. And if you have anything less than that, wiping it down is not going to be sufficient to be able to slice your bread to use with the opposite min. And this is what Rabbi Kiva Eger also points out and asks the Kasha on the Taz based on this. And the Prima Godim indeed says that the minig is that to be machmer like this. Like the like the shach over here. That means that even to use your knife with bread should not be done. Now, nowadays, this din should take on a little bit of a difference, because nowadays we do clean our knives constantly. So really, we don't have any knives in our house that are shuman toyach alpanav. You won't find the knife that's really caked on. Maybe you put it in the dishwasher and it didn't come out so clean. There's a little some spots on it. But other than that, it'll be, or if the husband does the dishes. I tell you once the mice with one of the Rebbeim once walked into Rav Scheinberg after he was recently married. Scheinberg Zatzal, and his wife was sick, so he was washing the dishes. So he had a Mr. Brewer propped up in front of him on the counter, and he's washing the dishes. So I don't know how well they got washed. So it's such a case.
He had an excuse.
Right. So in such a case, based on the fact that most of our knives are really clean, it would seem that la halacha, we really could rely on this taz. That if you have a clean knife, just to rub, be kinuach, just to wipe it down, really should be okay. Now, where is this so applicable? It's more applicable not by bread so much, but maybe it's more applicable by cake. Let's say you have a parva cake, okay, and you start the cake with a fleishig knife. Why? Because it was closer to get the fleishig knife, so you use the fleishig knife. And now you want to slice that cake with a fleishig knife and eat the cake with milk or coffee. So you're cutting the lechem or cake with a fleishig knife to eat with gvina. Is that permissible? Right? Is that permissible? So meikar adin, it would seem it is permissible. Why? Because again, the shach's whole argument on the taz was that this shuman toyach alpanav, this is residue of meat. There's no residue of meat on our knives. That's not a problem. As long as it's clean, it shouldn't be a problem. The only thing is maybe because of the minik, and that we'll see. That's the fifth din. But meikar adin, it would seem certainly not a problem to do that. So let's go to now din number five. The Ramah says, if he eats a bekarka, it'll be mutter, and you have machlekes, what will be mutter? To cut the bread or the cheese. Aval, kvar. Yeah, we're finishing the Ramah now. Aval kvar nogu kol Yisrael liyislam shnei sakinim. The meaning is that everybody has two knives, meaning one for fleishi, one for milchik, and the prichodesh, the Aruch HaShulchan, it brings in the prichodesh also, and the other achrenim, the meaning is not to have three knives, you have fleishi, you have milchik, you have for parv, three different types of knives, or shnei sakinim, v'rlir shem echamehem, and to make a simon on one of them, shehei lai heker, that it should be an identifying mark, v'nog v'loshim shel cholof. The meaning was that you do the one that's milchik. Put the simon on the milchik one. What's that based on? So Primi Gadim brings is based on a pasuk in Shmuel that says charitzei cholov. Charitzei cholov. The meaning was that they made a charitz. They made some indent on the milchik knife. Okay, this doesn't have to go for all silverware. It was just on knives. They put a charitz. They put a little mark on the milchik knife. I once saw this sefer Minhage Yershurin that says what was the reason they made the charitz, the simon on the milking knives. It says because it says Bo'erev Teichlu Basar, the pasuk says. So it says it used to be the meaning was you only ate meat at night. So at night they're worried it wouldn't be light around, right? And if you go take a knife for your meat, so make sure if you're going to have, this knife I see is no good, it has a charitz. So it's a milking knife. So to be sure, that's why they put it on the milking knife. Okay, person could say, no, it's very nice. They decided they'll put it on the simon on the milking knife. Now, my wife likes to have the simon on the fleishig knife. Is that okay?
Yeah, they have lights now.
Huh? Lights. So she'll be okay, right? No. So the Prima Gadim speaks that it's no good. Why? Because when the mother-in-law comes over, she knows that she learned the Ramah. She knows the minig is always, the one is always on the milking knife. So she's not going to know that you decided to change that. So for Acherim it says, therefore you should always keep the minig to be on the milking knife. Nowadays what we do is we have a simon on both. right? Because well, they make one is blue and one is red, so they make the
you can't see color at night.
Oh, but nowadays we do have light, so we can rely on that. Yeah. So once you have if it's color coded, certainly it's okay. If there's a piece of tape on it, that's what we do. So that's the minig. Ve'ein l'shanes minig Yisrael. A person should not change the minig of Yisrael.
So we say if I bring the
minig, this Sefer says minig is the same ois as Gehenim. If a person tries to start up with a minig. Yeah.
So if I bring my parva cake out for dessert Shabbos and I cut it with a fleshik knife, then I can't have that cake with milk and coffee the rest of the week? That's not what we're saying. What do we say? I want to then, Tuesday, I want to have a piece of cake. I take a parva knife or milk. What do I do then? I want to have my cake with coffee.
Well, they take any knife at that point. Take a parva knife, take a milk knife. We're saying that parva knife for sure you could use.
Yeah.
I mean, so when you slice the cake, right, the next piece you're slicing is not even touching the what you had before. The only problem is if you want to take, a fleshing knife and cut the cake, right, so that knife came in contact with part of that cake, and now you can eat the cake with milk. That would be the concern. All right? So, what it would seem from the Shulchan Aruch, that shouldn't be done. But we said that that's only a problem based on the shach who argued in Taz because the knife is assumed to be dirty. But our knives, which are assumed to be clean, it wouldn't be a problem. Oh, the only problem, what about the minig? Of a kfar nagu, right? So here, in the Bari HaShulchan, he brings that the reason for the minig was because if you cut, let's say you take the bread, right? Let's say I'm going to take the bread. Let's say the case we gave, you want to cut the hot dog bun or the hamburger bun. And you take a milking knife, you know, because the sharp milking knife, it's good, yeah? So you slice that one. The problem is there was a concern. You may now take that knife and bring it to the table where you're eating. So now, actually, then you want to actually cut the hamburger in half. You use that knife to cut. That's a milking knife cutting a hot hamburger. That's why the mini came, not even to use it for bread, even if you cleaned it off. So if that's the case, so there could be, this is already Reb Shmuel Felder's talk at this chiddush, and it's not such a chiddush thing, it's a davar pashut, that if that's the case, by cake you have no concern. By cake, the knife used for the cake is never a concern, you bring it to the table. It's not like bread that it becomes a whole meal. You usually slice the cake and you leave the knife over there. Right? You leave it by the cake. So even according to the minig, it would seem it wouldn't be a problem, right? You hear the difference. Is even the minig is not to use the same knife, even with the nitzah bakarka, even with wiping it down. Why? But we're saying the reason because you worry you may come to use that knife at the meal, but by a cake you wouldn't have that concern. So that's the din. So we have five dinim over here. You have to chazer over to review. You have. If you ate a milchig meal, you have to remove all of the crumbs and all of the pieces of remainder of bread. We spoke after Moshe that that's only bread that you have to be concerned that may have come in contact with some meat or fingers that had meat on them, but bread that was in a specific place that could be assumed to be untouched, that you are still allowed to use it with the opposite meal. Din number two was you can't eat fleshik and milchik on the same tablecloth that you just used for that meal. The Radvaz in the Pesach Tshuva says that was only really a problem when they ate directly on the tablecloth. But if you have plates, not a problem. I think that's some people have this minig just by a regular table. Right? When do they put tablecloths out? Most people put only tablecloths in the dining room table. What about in the kitchen table? You always eat on the tablecloth. So a lot of people do is no. The one, the, let's say milk, they'll have just on the table itself. And for flesh, you can put a tablecloth on. Right? And that's also acceptable. For sure, you could, even though it's the same table. And maybe sometimes people even use the same table. Meikar adin, it should be mutter according to the Radvaz, because we use plates, and once you wash it down, it should be certainly mutter. That was din number two. Din number three is you can't use a fleshig knife to cut cheese, or a milchig knife to cut meat, even though it's all cold. And on that, the Taz said that if you have ni'itza bekarka, it would be mutter. And And the fourth din was you're not allowed to even cut bread with a fleishig night to eat with milchik, or a milchik night to eat fleishig. And on that, the Taz says if you wipe it down, it's okay. The Shach says if you do ni'itza bekarka, it's okay. And the fifth din was that the minig is, even though it's mikaradin, you're allowed to use the knives with either sticking in the hard ground or wiping it down. The minig is we have two knives, always one for milk, one for fleishik. What the Shach does speak out, and this is where it's negeya, where the Taz's din is, that like with the case we gave by a non-Jewish knife, right? Let's say you need to use a knife, you need a sharp knife, right? And you're only using it for cold. Yeah, and the only knife you have is the knife in the hotel. Yeah, or the knife of the nice non-Jewish family who's next to you by the picnic, who's going to allow you to borrow their knife, right? So you check the knife, as long as it's clean, you should do an itza bekarka, if you're cutting direct food with it, right? Nitza bekarka. What if you're not going to take their knife and start sticking it into the ground? So as long as it's clean and you wipe it down, you can rely on the Taz that you can cut your bread, right? Let's say you have nothing to slice your bread open with. Yeah. So as long as you do that, you can really use the knife from the nachri, and as long as it's wiped down, you could use it to slice your bread. And then the fifth din was the minig that they have two knives, and we make the simen on the milchik knife. Okay, we'll hold it over here.